This is Talking Business.
Joining me now is Len Warson, who's the chairman and CEO of Glenville Group. G'day, Len.
How are you?
Your father started the business in the mid-50s.
That's correct,
back when my father was building homes as well in the 50s in the Melbourne suburbs.
Wow, it's changed a bit since then.
Certainly, yes. My dad went broke a few times. I don't think your dad went broke, did he?
It's had an interesting history, but he sold out to Mainline. I don't know if you remember Mainline.
Yeah.
He sold out half the business back in, I think, 70s or 80s.
But then he bought it back.
It's had some interesting history, but...
So why did he... What happened? I mean, he obviously didn't like working for Mainline or working with them.
Well, they went broke. They went to receivership.
He bought it off the receiver.
That's right. They took on the BLF, if you remember, the Builders Labours Federation, and lost.
Right.
So it was called Glendale Mainline Homes, went into receivership, and he managed to trade out of it. So... interesting times.
Yeah, well, so you joined the business in...
91. I was actually an ex-insolvency accountant.
So you were an accountant?
Yep.
Working as an insolvency... You didn't go in as the insolvency accountant
in
your firm?
No.
No. How old were you when you joined the business?
24.
Right. So you hadn't been an insolvent accountant for very long?
No. A short period. But it was fun.
Yeah, and so did you join the business because you had to, because it was time for your father to retire or what?
Yeah, my father wanted me to join the business and he was hassling me. I was really loving my profession and doing pretty well at it. But he was hassling me, so finally I succumbed to fatherly pressure and joined the business.
So what was the business like then? What sort of shape was it in?
I took over the housing business, which is called Glenville Homes, and it was... not well organised, let me put it that way. And I spent the next few years really cleaning it up and refocusing it and getting it on its way.
But there were more businesses at that point
under the
group umbrella, were there?
Yeah, my father was a property developer as well. So he did property development. So he looked after that and I looked after the housing business.
Right. And what was the housing business then? I mean, and how has that changed?
Yeah, the housing business back then was very different. In those days, repetition builders, as I call them, built outer suburban. They built volume housing, probably not that much different to what we do today.
Spec homes or?
Not spec, basically order jobs. And
On display homes?
Yeah, correct. And I opened up, I suppose my first major event was I opened up a 13-house display village in Cathy's Lane, Wanturna, which nobody had heard of super villages in those days. And I took a bit of a punt and made half of them more architectural, more suited to inner suburban. And, so that was the first change. They did really well, really, really well. And the super village was unbelievable. And that was the start of sort of a change of the whole business, because then in 91 I went full architectural and... in 93, I opened up the first inner suburban display home in Melbourne and went full design and construct, which we take for granted today because we think builders will just go and change and custom design. It was actually a business created by us in 1993 and with this display home in Kiunga and Caulfield. So
your father passed away, I think, 10 years ago?
Yeah, thereabouts, yeah.
Do you have siblings?
I've got a sister.
So do you own the business yourself?
I own it myself.
And so how has the business changed? Because the whole environment of property and housing in Australia and Victoria has changed so much.
Yeah, it's radical. Yeah, it's been a radical shift. We've moved into four different business units. So we've seen a massive growth in the investment space in housing. So we've got a business that builds house and land packages for the investment market. We still have Glenville Homes, which is our bespoke housing business, but believe it or not, it's only 7% of our business.
So what's your main business?
Property development. So we've got a major property development arm and we've got a major project in Alphington at the moment.
Property development, do you mean apartments?
Apartments, townhouses, houses. It's basically you buy the site, you get a permit, you sell it, and then you get a builder to build it, which more often than not is Glenville, but...
So always businesses. Always off the plan?
Yep.
Selling off the plan?
Correct.
So do you think that party's over now?
No, not at all. It depends which part of the market. There's still huge demand for apartments, but the credit squeeze from banks is slowing that down. We released on the weekend, on Saturday, a stage in our Yarra Bend project in Alphington of 39 townhouses, received 51 expressions of interest in one day. So that's super hot. They'll sell out very quick.
So tell us about the Alphington project, because this is huge, I think. It's like a suburb on the banks of the Yarra, a few kilometres from the city.
Yeah. People haven't heard of Alphington, so it's effectively, easiest way to describe it is diagonally opposite Studley Park in Kew. And it's the old paper manufacturing facility for APM, which it was known as, and then Amcor. It's one of the biggest urban regen projects in the country, and in Melbourne, it's smaller than Fisherman's Bend and the Docklands, but the biggest project apart from those in Melbourne.
How many hectares is it?
17, approximately.
Right, and did you have to remediate the land much?
Yeah, but the remediation's happening at the moment. It'll be cleaned up by Christmas this year. And
That a big deal?
Paper manufacturing's actually not a dirty.
Well, I thought there was a lot of asbestos there.
Yeah, that's in the fill in the land. But the thing about a cleanup of a site is it actually is cleaner than any other site because the EPA monitor it and make sure it's cleaned up better than anything. So you end up with the cleanest site in Melbourne when it's been controlled like that.
So with 17 hectares, is it all townhouses or are there houses
No.
with backyards or not?
Yeah, so we basically break the project up into multiple precincts. There's a shopping centre, which has got a conventional shopping centre, and then there's an artisanal shopping area with cafes and restaurants on that. There's about 2,000 apartments. There's 500 townhouses. There are 70 houses. And spread through the project in different precincts. There's a park precinct, there's a river precinct, etc.
So what's the cost of the project?
The project's end value is close to $2 billion. And,
when you say end value, you mean that
revenue.
That's what you're going to end up selling everything for?
Yeah, yeah. Glendale acquired 80% of the site, so we've got 80% of that.
Right.
So
that's huge. Well,
keeps me busy, that's for sure.
So is that bank funded?
Yes.
So you got a bank?
Well, not a major four bank. The major banks have pulled out of funding at that level. So
that's what I thought. I mean, that's amazing that they've just pulled out.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Were they forced to pull out, or did they just pull out because they wanted to?
Look, I don't pretend to know how these regulatory bodies work, but I think they were directed by APRA, which controls the banks, to effectively limit their funding in that space. The size of the project took the four major banks out of it because they have generally a lending limit of 75, 100 million, so it took them out. So we've gone a variety of offshore and private money to fund the project. It's a very, very bankable project because it's generally regarded as probably the best project in the city. Massive undersupply in that area.
Was it a competitive tender? Were you bidding against a lot of people?
Look, we bought it three or four years ago, and we ended up being the purchaser and negotiated it out with the vendors, being Amcor.
Right, and so that's obviously taking up most of your time. But what's the rest of your business involved now?
Yeah, so the business is basically broken up into four different divisions. So we're known for Glenville Homes, which is more bespoke housing where we design and construct houses on people's own block of lands. That's one business. We do house and land packages, a business called A-Place, which goes pretty much under the radar, does 600 to 700 homes a year, and it's all sold for people who want to own it and rent them out. We have Glenville Projects, and we're the biggest medium density builder in the city, built for public companies and the likes, and for Glenville Developments. And then we have Glenville Developments, which is a property developer.
So it sounds like you're still pretty optimistic about the Australian property market.
Yeah, look, we have population growth that if you look at a 10-year cum, it's about 30%. So, 2.5% population growth cumes to a huge amount. I don't think if you look at the landscape of Melbourne, you've seen an increase in supply of 30% across the board. You know, maybe Docklands City, some of those areas, the supply has gone up significantly more than 30%. But if we go to most of the suburbs of Melbourne, the supply hasn't even, nowhere near 30%. So area like Yarra Bend, Alphington, you'd be lucky if there's been a 5% increase in supply, yet over the last 10 years there's 30% population growth.
But it's the aggregate that matters, surely. I mean, it depends on the whole city.
Well, you assume there's disbursement and people who want to live in Q will go and live in the Docklands. That doesn't happen. You know, to a degree it happens, and it's more about that population growth that we have where it actually wants to live. So we have a fair amount that lives down in the city. There's been a huge change there. We've got an ageing population. So the big house going to a smaller house into an apartment has become unbelievably popular. The first home buyer, I think, is now accepting that buying the quarter acre block is no longer a reality in a suburban. So an apartment's a reality. So the whole demand shift is there. The only thing stopping the market right now is the borrowing regulations. The demand's still there. People are just nervous about getting their debt.
And I presume at some point the banks will get back into it.
Oh, it always will be. And then the market will take off again in, I'm guessing, 2 years. It's only the apartment market that's slowed down a bit. The rest is booming.
Huh.
Right? So I'm not seeing a shift in any other market but the apartment market.
Good to talk to you, Len. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
I've been talking to Len Wharton, who's the chairman and CEO of Glenville Group.